Holy Spirit, please guide my speech so that the message that the Lord intends for anyone on the other side of this to receive is what they receive according to his will. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Welcome to today's Wednesday Word. Yes, I missed a week. Don't talk to me about it. Anyway, I won't even make excuses for it. Today's word, oh man. So I just want to give a little anecdotal story. So growing up, I have very fond memories of riding to daycare with my dad and listening to Dr. Charles Stanley preach in the morning. I do not remember what radio station it was. If you're not familiar with Dr. Charles Stanley, you actually may be shocked. You might actually be familiar with him. He is a Baptist, or he was a Baptist preacher. He has gone home to glory, I believe, in 2021, or maybe even last year. But anyway, Baptist preacher, his voice is extremely distinct. And I just remember from a very young age listening to him in the morning. And, you know, the Bible says train a child in the way that they should go. And, you know, when they get older, they won't stray from it. And that doesn't mean that, you know, if you expose your children to the word of God and a relationship with God, that they will never stray from him, but they will not stay strayed from him, I believe. I truly believe that. I did myself stray a little bit, and not in terms of like a rebellious, but just a not taking it as important as I should. But I always have had instances where I've come back, and this is probably the strongest that I've ever come back, and I don't feel that it'll ever leave me again. There may be times where I've gotten a little weary, but the Lord is my salvation, and I stand on that, and I stand on God's word. So anyway, back to Dr. Charles Stanley. So I have now, with, you know, the things that I listen to, I am trying to be more cognizant of what I let enter into my ear gates and my eye gates. So the things that I view, the things that I listen to, you know, you carry on to them. If you're ever listening to a song and the song is stuck in your head, like there's a reason that that song is stuck in your head. It's probably catchy. And I just want to make sure that the things that I'm considering to be catchy or things that I, you know, have visualized in my head are things that are good and pleasing to the Lord, because I know that they're good and pleasing to my spirit. So anyway, I've been listening to Dr. Charles Stanley when I want to listen to a podcast, and like maybe I'm caught up on all of the newer podcasts that are out there. And there's a podcast from In Touch Ministries where basically they just replay Dr. Charles Stanley's you know, his past sermons. And he was on every single day. So, and I don't know how many years he did that every single day. So there's a lot of content there. And of course, you know, they probably cycled through it, but like I can't say that I've listened to every single sermon from Dr. Charles Stanley. I just have not. So anyway, I went to the gym this morning to do a little cardio. I've been getting back into that, and I was like, okay, what am I going to listen to? And for whatever reason, I didn't want to listen to music this morning. I wanted to listen to a podcast, particularly like a sermon. And I just went to Dr. Charles Stanley's podcast of the replays. And I've been trying to kind of listen to them like day by day, but like I skipped a few the last time that I was listening, or I'll try to look for one that I think is meant for me in this moment or something. And so I decided to listen to the one from yesterday, and it was a part of a two-part series, and it was about waiting for the Lord. And I definitely am in a season of waiting at this time. And, you know, I've been, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, there've been moments where I'm just like, yep, I'm just going to trust God and, you know, wait on him to show me a sign. And then I've also been in, like, okay, well, maybe I heard him this way so that I need to do it this, and this should be a sign. And it just, I've been feeling a little back and forth, lost. And so listening to this today, I was just like, wow, okay. And I want to bring up like a couple of scriptures that just like really, you know, made me stop and think for a minute there. And so the first one is, I believe it's in Deuteronomy, and it says that you are to keep the word of God written in your heart. And to me, that means, you know how people have, like, I guess in this new age of like the affirmations and everything like that, I consider the, and I've said this before, I consider the words of the Bible, which is the words of the Lord, to be all the affirmations that you need. And if you actually look to and start to read, a lot of the things that are quote unquote like popular affirmations are, they're not new. They're actually in the Bible, and maybe the word for God has been replaced with something else, but there, it's not new. And so I want to get it from the source, you know? So I really have been in the Word and everything like that, and trying to really keep those words in my heart and meditate on them day and night, as the Bible says. And what I found is that I hear the Lord more. The more that I am in the Bible, this is how he speaks to us. The more that I am in the Bible, the more that I hear him. You know, the saying, if you're looking for a red car, you're going to find one. I feel like that's the word of God. If you're looking for God to speak to you, you're going to find it the more you are in his word and doing his will. So anyway, so I'm seeing that I've not listened. Typically I do listen to music when I'm doing cardio, but for whatever reason today, I didn't want to. I wanted to listen to Charles Stanley. And so I did, and I could have gone back to where I had left off, which was actually like a couple of days ago, but I didn't. I went with yesterday's sermon specifically, and it was about a waiting season. And I literally felt like the Lord was speaking to me through the podcast. And so I wanted to dive into some of the things that I really just like honed in for me, and then tell a little story about what actually happened during my cardio that made me just like really, really sink it in for me. So first things first, I want to go to Isaiah. So if you are following along with me, I'm turning to Isaiah chapter 30. And it is verse 15, and it says, "This is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it." So, for context at this time with Isaiah, he's, you know, speaking the word of God and what God is saying to Israel. They were not following his design for them, God's design for them. And, you know, the Lord is expressing basically his concern about like, this is what I told you, and this is what you were supposed to do, and this is what you didn't do. But anyway, I want to, in repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength. And so Charles Stanley was saying that in waiting, you have trust. You're going to learn how to trust God in waiting. And if you learn how to trust God, or if you're trusting God, then you're going to learn how to wait. And that really hit me, because I feel that sometimes we are in a waiting season, but we're not trusting. And what Charles Stanley really honed in here was quietness. In quietness and trust is your strength. A lot of times we are waiting and we're not quiet about it. That's a lack of trust right there, because we're waiting and we're yipping about it, and it's like, oh well, that's what you said you were going to do, and kind of almost nagging to God about what he said that he was going to do. But if we trust in what he said, because his word never returns void, that's written in here, his word never returns void. If we trust him, then we should wait quietly, just sit there and wait. And so that's something I haven't been doing, is waiting quietly. And I want to hone in as well, if you skip down a couple of verses in 18, and it says, you know, after a little bit of the fussing, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. You know, he created us to love us. Like, that's literally our only purpose here. And so, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. Blessed are all who wait for him. It says it. It's written. You are blessed if you wait for the Lord. If you wait for the Lord and you trust him, that's a sign of your love. And that hit me. And I'm going to go through some more scripture today. And I found that this one was funny as well. Not because of the verse itself, but what Charles Stanley actually said. But he said, turn to Lamentations. And he said, That's not one you turn to very often. And then he goes, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. And it's so funny because I was all like, okay, let me go and turn to that because nobody has ever told me to turn to this book in the Bible. And actually, as I have it open, I can tell like the pages. Obviously, I've not actually read this book in whole yet, but the pages in comparison to like pages that I have like ran through, for example, like Matthew, where I have highlights and written notes for myself from like dating back from so long, like from when I originally got the Bible, I have notes from when I was 16 in here. Lamentations, though, I can see the binding in this book and how white and clear it like. It is so clean. Anyway, so Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25 says, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Again, we have here wait quietly. I do not think that it is coincidence that when it is mentioned to wait on the Lord, quietly is mentioned not once now, but twice. It doesn't say wait and keep asking God questions. It doesn't say wait and keep reminding God of what you asked for. It says to wait quietly. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And I didn't even read this part. I'm skipping ahead to verse 28. "Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him." Before this, it says to bear the yoke. Bear the yoke means that you are just you're holding on to what it is that you're waiting on. You're holding on to your burden. The Lord has laid it on him. Let him sit alone in silence. Okay. And then the last scripture that I want to go to is Psalms, and we've talked about Psalms before. And I think I actually mentioned this one maybe last week, or not last week since I skipped an episode, but maybe before this. But Psalm 27, verse 14, "Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." Be strong and take heart, wait for the Lord. And it just, I don't know. I may be sounding crazy. I may be sounding delusional, but I just want to put it all together of about waiting for the Lord and doing so quietly. And it really hit me today, and I'll get to how I wrap this all around. So I'm on the treadmill and I'm walking. I have my little fanny pack with me, and I typically put my fanny pack on the floor next to me rather than on the treadmill itself. I kind of hang it sometimes, but I'm on incline, so sometimes it slides off, so I just leave it on the floor. And so I'm walking, I'm listening, and I'm kind of like, I hate to admit it, but I'm kind of like in my own thoughts while I'm listening to the podcast and this sermon. I'm in my own thoughts, so I'm hearing it, but I'm not really listening. And this lady walks in, and I took notice of her because she had a walker and she had on a mask and she was walking kind of slow. And I kind of looked at her and then I turned back. And then for whatever reason, right when she was about to pass me, I kind of glanced at her again and she said, "Excuse me." And she pointed to my fanny pack on the floor to like let me know, like, "Hey, your fanny pack's on the floor." You know, basically kind of like, "Hey, you dropped this," basically. I said, "Oh, thank you. I put it there. Appreciate it." Gave her a smile and everything like that. And she smiled at me and kept on moving. It was in that moment that I kind of like turned my ears back on to listening to the sermon, and it said to me, and this is a vulnerable moment, I'm going to be honest, and I'm not going to give too many details about my personal situation, but you will probably be able to guess in what was said of what I'm going through. And it said, if you're waiting, you know, maybe you are going to get married, you're engaged right now, and, you know, everybody's kind of like, "Oh, yeah, when you gonna get married?" And they're kind of rushing it. And you're kind of like, "Okay, why, you know, yeah, let's go ahead and do it. Like, what are we waiting on? We're engaged. Let's go ahead and do it." Perhaps that hasn't worked out for you, not necessarily because the Lord doesn't want you to get married to that person. The Lord typically wants what you desire. If he put it in your heart for you desire, he's going to give it to you. The problem is the timing at which you want it is not aligned with God's will. God gives you things that you can handle, and he knows what you can and cannot handle. And perhaps you are not ready for marriage. And I'm saying this almost exactly how Charles Stanley said it as well. And it just really hit me. He said, what may be joy tomorrow is going to be woe today. And when he said that, it was like everything clicked for me. It was like, okay, wow. Wow. And I thought back to, in a story we've talked about before, I thought back to Sarah and Abraham and how they did not wait on the Lord. And typically, he's saying, I'm kind of running all crazy, but I'm going to bring it all together. But typically when we decide that we are going to do something on our own, and being out of God's will doesn't necessarily mean that what you did per se is out of God's will, but it may be the time frame that you chose to do it is what was out of God's will. And so, you know, it was intended for Sarah and Abraham to have a child, but Sarah wanted the child at that very moment and did not believe that God was going to do what he said he was going to do and grant them a child, and took it into her own hands to tell her servant to go and sleep with her husband so that they could have a child. And of course, her servant conceived and had Ishmael. And the destruction that that caused was not in God's will. God blessed Hagar and Ishmael anyway, because he loves them, that we're all God's creation and he loves all of us. But that was not his will. And Ishmael had to go and grow up without a father because, you know, eventually after Sarah and Abraham did have the child that God said that he was going, that he promised that they would have, Ishmael and Hagar had to go off. And, you know, Hagar had to be without the father of her child, and her child had to live without his father. They had to be off somewhere. That's not by design. Can you imagine what, you know, we have so much trauma in our society about children who grow up without fathers. And so, you know, all that trauma that's now been pushed onto Ishmael that he didn't ask for, because Sarah decided to take it into her own hands and have Abraham sleep with her servant. And I'm not to say that Ishmael shouldn't be here, but that was not God's design. That was not God's will. And Sarah took it into her own hands, and look at what that cost. So I thought to myself, wow, 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 wow. And honestly, I'm thinking back to it. When Devin and I first got engaged, the day after, everyone was asking, you know, when are you guys going to get married? Have you set a date yet? Which honestly, me and him were looking at each other like, set a date yet? We just got engaged yesterday. What do y'all mean? And I was like, oh, I'm thinking maybe April 2024. Well, if you're listening to this right now, no matter when you're listening to it, it is March 2024. Let me tell you, I'm not getting married next month. Not because Devin and I aren't engaged anymore, but it did not work out that way. That was not the design. That was not the plan. However, in the time that Devin and I have been engaged, the growth that we have had spiritually, is really incredible. It's really incredible. And I don't think that we are ready to be married at this very moment in time. I think that the Lord is doing some work in both of us still, because they say that the spiritual attack that you have after you're married is like none other. The devil hates everything that the Lord put together. And the Lord put together marriage, and it is sanctified through him. And the devil hates that. The warfare, the spiritual warfare that you go through once you become one in the eyes of God is like none other that I have ever heard before from others. I think that he wants to make sure that we're prepared for that. And we weren't prepared for that. We were not prepared for that. But we have been growing in love and in God since we have been engaged. And it really just hit me like that. And I've heard as well, like, this is a saying too, that, you know, God does not put you through things in order to harm you. You know, and James says, don't say that the Lord is testing you. The Lord's not testing you to bring you harm or anything like that. If you are facing a test from the Lord, it is so he can get the glory, because he knows he's going to bring you out of it. If he's going to bring you out of it when you lean on him and you trust him to do the things that he said that he is going to do, despite what is going on, he is going to bring you out of it. And whatever he gives you after that is going to be 100% better than whatever you expected. 100% better than whatever you expected. And so I just thought to myself, you know what? Devin and I will get married at the time that is meant for us to get married based on God's will. And it is going to be better than we could have ever imagined. All I have to do is wait quietly on the next instruction that I have from the Lord. And it will be. He will give me what my heart desires, and it will be better than what I desired. I remember the story of Job. Job went through it. And you know what? I'm going to break down that story because it is hefty. And it is really sad up until the end. It is extremely sad up until the end. Job went through it and lost everything. And not once did Job curse the Lord. Not once in that trial did Job curse the Lord. And when God brought him out of that, he had double what he had before. Better than Job could have imagined. And so it does just really hit me today. And I don't know if anybody is listening to this and they're really feeling it. They're in a waiting season. Maybe you are expecting to be pregnant, or you're looking for, you know, your partner who you're going to be with in this life and, you know, serve the Lord together and do his will together. And you're looking for that, and you've been looking for a long time, and or you're waiting on that job, whatever it may be, you're waiting on a house. Maybe you're waiting to get out of the situation that you're in. Do so quietly. Wait on the Lord quietly. If he put the desire in your heart, it is meant for you to have, but you must trust him. I think our society, and I'm wrapping it up here, but I think that our society many times kind of puts us in this God status of, like, you know, the girl boss, and you can do it all on your own. You don't need anybody but you. The only person who you need to love is you. And I understand where it comes from, but it is a little toxic if you are a believer to think that everything that you do is on your own will and on your own accord and by your own doing. That's just not the case. That's just not the case. You were not put here on your own. The Lord ordained that. And it is he who created you for you to love him. And that is your only purpose here, is to do his will and obey his commands. And that is how you express your love. But he put us on this earth for us to be loved. And just trust him. Just trust that he doesn't want you to be sad. That's not one of the fruits of the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. I don't think I named all of them, but I'm working on memorizing those. Ephesians 5:22-23. The fruits of the Spirit. He doesn't want you to be sad. That's not his desire for you. He doesn't want you to be upset, angry. He doesn't want that for you. He wants joy from you. So if it is in your heart's desire for it to bring you joy, you're going to get it. But you have to trust that he's going to give that to you. You have to lean on him and wait on him quietly. And so that is my message here today for Wednesday's Word. And it really touched me. So I hope it touched you. And as always, I encourage you to read the Bible for yourself, have a relationship with God. The labels and whatnot don't even matter. Just trust him, follow him, and he will grant the desires of your heart as long as they are aligned in his will. Thank you guys for listening, and I will see you next time. Bye.